Hello, brothers and sisters. Welcome to Food for the Journey. I'm Sister Ann Shields. Yesterday's program got away from me at the very end, and I said that I would say more, so this is a follow-up on Thursday's program. I was saying at the end how easy it is to say, oh yes, I have faith, I believe in God, when we're in a moment of consolation, when things are going right or something really good has happened, and we say, oh God, thank you, thank you, thank you. But then we get into the ordinary things of daily life and how easy it is for it to slip away. I was closing yesterday's program with saying, we say the first part of the doxology when things are going well, glory be to the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And then we go back to normal life where there's plenty of adversity and irritation and impatience. We say, as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be. I'm not trying to mock the doxology. I'm just saying that how easy it is to have faith when things are going well, and how hard it is to have faith when things are going poorly or there are difficult situations. That's why we need to pray daily for faith, to grow in faith, so that even in adversity, we can, in a sense, hold on to his hand and rest against his heart. That's what God wants. He wants us to grow in faith. Is that something that you should pay attention to in this new year? What can you do to strengthen your faith? Make sure there's a daily prayer time. That is fundamental. Make sure there are times for adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. Ask the saints, ask the Blessed Mother to intercede for you that your faith may grow. It's in there. By the grace of baptism and confirmation, it's in you. There is faith in you, but you got to break it open, so to speak. You've got to give it room to grow, room to breathe, and you've got to feed it by thanking God when things go well, by praying to him rather than just giving in to discouragement. Pray to him right in the situation. When it's tough, he will come through. He will help you. And your faith will grow. Pray every day for that grace. Lord, increase my faith. We look now to the readings for this Sunday, which is the great feast of the baptism of the Lord, that the Lord himself, who came in flesh like us in all things but sin, now goes to John, his cousin, to be baptized. My goodness, brothers and sisters, what humility. God could have lorded it over everything and everybody said, gee, look who I am. But that's not God's way. God's way is to take our way. God's way is to take on flesh and to know all the limitations and the pain and the suffering and the joys that come through living in this body of ours. He became like us in all things but sin. So this is quite an act of humility that Jesus goes to John and asks to be baptized by him. Let's take a look at the readings. The opening prayer, Almighty ever-living God, who when Christ had been baptized in the River Jordan, and as the Holy Spirit descended upon him, solemnly declared him your beloved Son, grant that your children by adoption, reborn of water and the Holy Spirit, that's us, may always be well-pleasing to you. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. So we look now to the readings for this feast of the baptism of the Lord. Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 to 4, and then 6 to 7. Thus says the Lord, here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one, with whom I am pleased, upon whom I have put my spirit. He shall bring forth justice to the nations, not crying out, not shouting, not making his voice heard in the street. A bruised reed he shall not break, a smoldering wick he shall not quench. Sometimes don't we feel like bruised reeds and smoldering wicks, don't we? But he will not break such a reed, and he will not quench a smoldering wick until he establishes justice on the earth. The coastlands will wait for his teaching. This is again the prophecy of the coming of the Messiah and what he would be like. I, the Lord, have called you for the victory of justice. I have grasped you by the hand. I formed you and set you as a covenant of the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes of the blind, to bring out prisoners from confinement, and from the dungeon those who live in darkness. Brothers and sisters, there are times when we're blind, times when we're imprisoned within our own sin, times when we walk in darkness. And those are very, very difficult times. And Jesus says clearly that he will come and open the eyes of the blind and bring out prisoners from confinement and from the dungeon those who live in darkness. If any of those things express where you feel you are right now, cry out to him. Cry out to him. I will grasp you by the hand. Psalm 29, the Lord will bless his people with peace. He will. Even in the midst of difficulty, if I know I'm not alone, how much more easily I can endure it. If I know there's help coming, if I know there's comfort, I can endure. And God wants to give us all that in our times of crisis, in our times of trial. Go to him. Lean on him. Don't budge. Cry out to him. Tell him what is true. You are my only hope. Watch what he does. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 10, verses 34 to 38. Peter proceeded to speak to those gathered in the house of Cornelius, saying, "In truth, I see that God shows no partiality. Rather, in every nation, whoever fears him and acts uprightly is acceptable to him." We show all kinds of partiality, you and me. We do. But here, God shows no partiality. Lord, I want your mind. I want your heart. Help me, shape me, teach me, that I may be for others what you are. Rather, in every nation, whoever fears him and acts uprightly is acceptable to him. You know the word that he sent to the Israelites as he proclaimed peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. What has happened all over Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. He went about doing good and healing all those oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. For God was with him. And God will be with you. God will be with you. And look who it is who's speaking. It's Peter. Peter. God shows no partiality. Rather, in every nation, whoever fears him and acts uprightly is acceptable to him. There are people like that all over the world, brothers and sisters. Look for them. Find them. Join with them. Pray for them. Write to them. Let us build up everyone who fears God and acts uprightly. And the gospel is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 3, verses 15 and 16, and 21 and 22. I'll come back to the second reading, so don't think I skipped it. I'll come back to it. Luke, chapter 3, verses 15 and 16, and 21, 22. The people were filled with expectation, and all were asking in their hearts whether John might be the Christ. John answered them all, saying, "I am baptizing you with water, but one mightier than I is coming. I am not worthy to loosen the thongs of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." See, John was able to be such a forerunner of the Christ because he acknowledged, no, I'm not the Messiah. Don't look to me. Look to the one who has come after me. I'm not worthy to even untie the sandals on his feet. Brothers and sisters, that's what we should be saying. When people compliment us for doing good, receive it and thank them. But then say, you know, the only reason I can do this is because of Jesus, who is my Lord and Savior, who supplies, who gives me what I need so that I may give it to you. Point to Jesus. Always point to Jesus. Receive the gratitude they give you. That's appropriate. But then don't let it stop with you. Point the way to Jesus. Always. After all the people had been baptized, and Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, heaven was open, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. It was seen, brothers and sisters. It was seen. The Holy Spirit was seen in the form of a dove. That's why we have that image in our lives, but that it's not, it's a good image, but it's not complete by a long shot. Sometimes you can think the Holy Spirit is a bird, and that's just not true. He is the love between the Father and the Son. He comes as the dove. He comes as peace. He comes with truth. And he says, a voice from heaven says, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." May we acknowledge Christ so that before the Father, Christ will acknowledge us. Acknowledge God here, that Jesus might acknowledge us before the face of the Father when we die. And acknowledge him here that many people may be drawn to him. That's our call. Jesus is baptized today in the Jordan. Let us thank Jesus for becoming flesh, for living like us in all things but sin. And let us thank God for John the Baptist, who clearly knew what the part was he was called to play and played it to the full. Let's go back now for a moment. I want to say something about Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to 14 and 3, verses 4 to 7. This is taken from the C calendar. These are optional readings for the year C, which we are in. And I just want to mention one of those readings in the few moments I have left. Titus 2, 11 to 14. "Beloved, the grace of God has appeared, saving all and training us to reject godless ways and worldly desires, to live temperately, justly, devoutly in this age, as we await the blessed hope, the appearance of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to deliver us from all lawlessness and to cleanse for himself a people as his own, eager to do what is good." What more can God give us than give us himself? What more can he do for us than to die for us? Please, if your faith is weak or shallow or non-existent, ask God today, "Please, Lord, give me the grace to acknowledge you. Give me the grace to love you. Give me the grace to follow you." And if you followed him but you're lukewarm, pray all the more today, "God, give me the grace to believe. Give me the grace to live out of the faith, the gift you have given me." When the kindness and generous love of God our Savior appeared, not because of righteous deeds we had done, but because of mercy, he saved us through the bath of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he richly poured out upon us through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that we might be justified by his grace and become heirs in hope of eternal life. God gave us everything he could possibly give us. He gave us himself. He gave us himself to lead us home to eternal life. Please, brothers and sisters, please do not turn away from him. Turn toward him and know the life that he has for you. God bless you. As we prepare for this year of mercy, which will begin this December, I want to make available to you a free copy of my booklet, Captured by Mercy. I'm going to be speaking on this program a great deal about the true meaning of mercy, but I'd like you to have a free copy of my booklet now, Captured by Mercy. You can receive it simply by calling this number, 1-800-282-4789.